A police officer pulled over a car for speeding. In the driver's seat was the husband, in the passenger seat was the wife. And the police officer noticed that the man, first of all, wasn't wearing his seatbelt. So he said to him, "Why aren't you wearing your seatbelt?" And the husband said, "Well, I always wear it, officer. I just forgot today." And the wife leaned over and said, "Officer, he never wears his seatbelt." And then the police officer said, "Well, show me your license, your registration." The man said, "Oh, officer, I forgot my wallet today. I'm very sorry. I always carry it with me." The wife leaned over and said, "Officer, he never carries his license. In fact, I think it's expired." And just then the husband turns to his wife and says, "Would you quiet down, woman?" And the police officer then walked around to the other side of the car. The woman rolled down her window and he said to her, "Does he always speak to you in this manner?" She said, "Only when he's drunk." Well, that story shows the bad kind of anger. Now, that was not the kind of anger that the Lord used in the temple. See, there's the sin of anger, as we saw in the story, but what the Lord did was not a sin. The Lord did not lose his temper. The Lord used his temper. There's a big difference. A parent should understand this. I'm sure you do. To lose one's temper is a sin. Anger is one of the seven capital sins, one of the seven deadly sins. But of course, Christ could not sin. He is God. But he used his temper, this emotion, to make a point. And I'm sure you as parents have to do this sometimes as well. If your child runs out into the street and almost gets hit by a car, don't you pull the child back and show emotion about, you know, don't run out into the street? So you have to show some emotion, some anger sometimes to get the attention. That's a good kind of anger, righteous anger. Let's say your child's about to touch a hot stove and burn his or her fingers. You pull the child's hand back. You show emotion. We should show righteous anger when the innocent are being harmed, or when those who are being abused. We have to show righteous anger against when things like this happen. That's what the Lord was doing. He was using righteous anger to make a point. He drove out the money changers from the temple. Well, why did the Lord drive out the money changers and turn over their tables? Well, really, for three reasons. Number one was that the money changers were cheating the pilgrims. See, people would travel from all over. The Jewish people would come from all over. Josephus, the historian, says about 2.5 million Jewish people would come to the temple every year at Passover. They'd be coming from all different countries with all different currencies. And the only currency that was accepted in the temple was a Jewish coin, a Jewish currency. And so if you came from different parts of the world, you would have to exchange your money. And of course, the money changers were notorious for not giving a very good exchange rate. And so they would be cheating people because they could not use their own currency in the temple, and they would cheat them and charge them a lot more money for exchanging the money there in the temple. I'm sure you've seen this before, right? When you travel to other countries, there are some places where you get a good exchange rate, some places where you get a bad exchange rate. The airport's not always the best place to change money, right? You go into town, you get a better exchange rate. The same thing with the temple. And people, the second reason why the Lord was upset was because the inspectors in the temple would not often accept people's own gifts of animals or doves or lambs or oxen that they would bring, because these were supposed to be unblemished. And the inspectors had a very high criteria. And if they rejected the animal or the dove that you brought, then they could you'd have to buy one of theirs. For example, if you wanted to offer a burnt offering, you could buy an ox or a sheep. The mothers, after the birth of a child, would have to go through the purification ceremony and offer either two doves or two pigeons. If you wanted to offer an animal at Passover, you'd have to give a lamb, for example. So people would be selling the money changers, and those who sold these animals would be making a huge profit. For example, a dove that you could buy in the village for 50 cents might be $5. in the temple. So the Lord was very much upset that they were charging exorbitant rates and making it very difficult for the pilgrims not to use their own animals, but to have to buy them there at the temple. And the third reason why the Lord was angry at what was going on in the temple was that these money changers and those who sold animals actually set up their goods in the temple itself, in the court of the Gentiles. Now, the temple of Jerusalem was magnificent. It was 20 acres. The building itself was 20 acres. And there was the outer realm of the court of the Gentiles, where non-Jews could pray. The pagans, the Gentiles, could come there in the temple and pray in that area. Then you had the court of the women. Then you had the court of the Israelite men. Then you had the court of the priests. And finally, the Holy of Holies in the very center, which of course was empty since the Ark of the Covenant had been long lost. But any pagan or any Gentile that wanted to come to the temple, they were only allowed to pray in the court of the Gentiles, and this is where all the chaos was. It was like a zoo. Imagine all these animals, all the money changers. So the Lord comes in, he sees this. And it says he made a whip out of cords. It's the only time recorded in Scripture where Jesus actually made anything. Obviously, he was a carpenter and made tables and chairs, but the only time it says in the Bible that the Lord made anything was this whip. So he makes this whip, and he drives him out. Now, why didn't the temple police, the guards, stop him? He was only one individual. It was because of his power, his voice, his presence, his eyes, that would have so much authority and power as the Son of God. He turned over their tables. He drove all the animals out. He said, stop making my Father's house a marketplace. It's to be a house of prayer for all the nations, for the Gentiles as well as for the Jews. And so he drove them out. Now, even the chief priests and the elders, they were not willing to stop the Lord because of his authority. But they did say, what miracle can you work to prove you have authority to do this? And the Lord said, the sign I will give you is destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will build it. And they said, you're crazy. It took 46 years to build this temple. King Herod had it built. It was magnificent, one of the wonders of the world at the time. And he said, and I will rebuild it in 3 days. Now, of course, they misunderstood. They thought he was referring to the temple. He's referring to his body. The sign that would prove his authority would be the resurrection, his own resurrection from the dead. He said, you kill me, and I will be resurrected in 3 days. The temple of his body. Even St. John, who wrote this, says he was not speaking about the temple, but about his own body, the temple. That was the true temple. Jesus Christ, the true temple, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, become flesh and dwelt among us. So how do we apply this passage to our life? Well, first of all, realize that the true temple is not the physical structure in Jerusalem. The true temple is Jesus Christ. And even though we killed him by our sins on Good Friday, he took our sins to the cross, and he was raised from the dead on Easter Sunday. He is the true temple. Now, every Catholic church is the house of God. And in fact, every Catholic church, the most simple, the most ornate, is actually greater than the temple of Jerusalem, because we have the tabernacle with the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. See, their Holy of Holies was empty. The Ark of the Covenant had long been lost. So our temple, our church, even the most humble of churches, is greater than the temple of Jerusalem, because we have the Ark of the Covenant here. Jesus in the most blessed sacrament. So we should make sure that we keep our church as a house of prayer. To always have prayer and silence before Mass and after Mass. I'm so proud of all of you for doing this. That's why we have the large vestibule and places for coffee and donuts and socializing. The vestibule is where we can socialize and talk and meet one another and have friendships and socializing. That's wonderful. But once we pass through that double set of doors, we're in God's house. And it needs to be, and thank you so much for making it, a house of prayer. I go to other churches around the country, and before Mass, everybody's talking and carrying on. But in our church, we're very blessed. We have people that come early, they pray after Mass, you kneel down and say your prayers, and it's a wonderful thing to have the house of God as a house of prayer for all the nations. And lastly, I think the other thing we should relate to our life is that our bodies are temples of God as well. St. Paul says, "Do you not realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit?" Now, you might have some money changers in your temple that you need to have Jesus drive out. What is that whip that he uses to drive out the money changers from your temple? It is confession. When you go to confession, you invite Jesus into the temple of your soul, into the temple of your spirit, and you say, "Jesus, drive out anger, drive out pride, drive out lust, drive out envy, drive out greediness, drive out impatience, drive out all these things, the seven deadly sins that affect our lives." And that's what we should pray for today, that during Lent, this is a time when we say, "Jesus, come into my temple and through confession, drive out these money changers that I'm allowing to live within my heart and soul." And if you can have Jesus come in through confession and drive them out, then your soul will be much more beautiful and pleasing to Almighty God. A beautiful temple, the dwelling place of God, the Blessed Trinity. God bless you.